The New York Nonprofit Press, the industry standard for nonprofits, is a must-read for over 20,000 New York City and state executives. Those who know the nonprofit world count on the NYNP to deliver breaking news and get messages across into the nonprofit industry. Ads can be placed in our paper, daily emails, or on our website. For more information, visit nynp.biz or email publisher@nynp.biz. The New York Nonprofit Press, serving people who serve people.
Good morning and welcome back to the Nonprofit Voice. I'm Allison Brecker, host of the show. And this morning I have with me, my guest is Gabriela Pereira, a human resources generalist at Alcott HR, who's full of so much information this morning. If you are a small business owner or nonprofit owner or work at a nonprofit or a small business, this is the show for you because there is going to be so much information that you'll want to take a ton of notes. She's clearing up all of the confusion around back to work office opening procedures and what kind of rules we need to follow. And more importantly, how we can all stay safe in the workplace as businesses around here start to reopen. Right. So welcome to the show, Gabby.
Thank you.
Great. So before the break, we were starting to talk about workplace trends. Mm-hmm. And I think the topic on everyone's mind is, I'm scared. You know, I'm scared to come back to work. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what, you know, the physical office environment is going to be like. And I think some businesses probably did a better job than others in the first kind of the first part of this pandemic time. But what about in the fall when kids go back to school, offices are reopening, people are going to be expected to come into the office, at least on a limited basis? What kind of things are you learning from businesses that really got their act together?
So what I think is really important to know is that there's tons of resources available to you, and any question is not a silly question. So we've had multiple calls come in from employees who are just nervous, like, is the safety policy that my company's putting together, is that compliant? Is that what it should be? And the answer 9 times out of 10 is yes, because they're following New York State procedures. And then the next question we get is, well, I'm a single mom and I cannot come back into the work office 5 days a week if my child's only going in 3 days a week. And again, there's resources available to you.
Okay, so let's dig into that a little bit, because I think that is what is going to be on a lot of people's minds. As much as I hate to say this, Labor Day and school, the start of the school year, is right around the corner, as I tell my kids all the time. So, you know, people can get comfortable, but not too comfortable. So what's going to happen in the fall, and really what are employees entitled to, you know, under the current state of the law?
So under the current state of the law, they are eligible for an extended FMLA time.
Okay, so FMLA is Family Medical Leave Act,
right?
So what does that mean?
So what happened when the whole COVID pandemic happened was the federal government was understanding that some people cannot work. They had to be home because their children were home. So what they offered are now 12 weeks of a paid leave for employees to use if they need to care for a child due to COVID-19.
Okay, so let's be crystal clear on this. This doesn't mean that you, the employee, have to be sick or that your child is sick, you know, thank goodness, right? It just means that because of the pandemic, you now have to take time off of work for childcare obligations. This is an enormous shift in the law. And I think it's really important for people to understand that this is now something that they could ask of their employers and, mind you, without repercussions.
Right.
Right.
And this is what they can request. And what I think is even more important, that they can use it intermittently. So if they know that they have childcare on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, they can then, for the other days of the week, use this leave. It doesn't need to be used 12 weeks consecutively. They can use this time every 2 days, every 3 days, however they need to use it. So there is a lot of flexibility there that employers and employees can use and have, where it's a happy medium. Employers have employees coming back to work, whether it's full-time or per diem basis. And then employees get to be able to not have to worry too much about their childcare. Because unfortunately, even if schools open, there's going to be some daycares that cannot reopen. Whether it's, you know, downturn in business or daycares just don't want to reopen, some of them are not going to. And that's just an unfortunate reality that a lot of people have to face.
Right. And I think right now there's also a lot of uncertainty as to what what the school districts are going to provide as well.
Right.
There's talk I hear of A days and B days where your child may go in every other day, or maybe there, maybe another option I've seen is allowing sort of alternating 2 week shifts so that you don't have different groups of kids coming in and out of the building on a day to day basis, but at least you have them consistently for a 14 day period, which of course here is kind of the magic number, right? In terms of developing symptoms and whatnot. So you kind of keep some continuity there. How are people, your clients, you know, nonprofits especially, dealing with this? Because nonprofits are a lifeline. They're a lifeline for people financially, for financial assistance, medical assistance, whatever the case might be. And oftentimes those organizations, just by definition of what they do, can't operate remotely.
Right.
And so what are you seeing as kind of lessons learned, or, you know, what are companies do, nonprofits doing well in that space, and what do they need to kind of focus on now? What should they be doing in this downtime?
Business continuity plans. I think that is the most important outcome of this entire pandemic, is understanding, you know, how many people do you need in the office at a time? A lot of nonprofits, like you said, they're a lifeline. They have to be in the office. There's no such thing as a remote, you know, clinician, or essentially a remote food pantry. That there's no such thing as that. Clients really had to understand, how many people do we need in the office at the time? And whether it is, like the school, is going to be a 2 week rotating basis, that's what my clients have really come to the solution. And that's how they really have succeeded, where it's whether you have a rotating amount of staff in the office so that there is still work being done, or they're furloughed for 2 weeks, whatever that may have been, that was the best solution for some of these nonprofits. Because like you said, we need people in the seat talking to somebody face to face. So it wasn't really an option to move to Zoom, or everyone starts using Microsoft Teams. That really wasn't a good answer for a lot of these nonprofits, because they need the people in the office. So those rotating schedules, flexible work shifts, that has become the new norm for a lot of businesses now, and companies that never really were okay with, you know, flexible work scheduling or telecommuting, now have to come to the reality that this is something that's just our new norm.
Yeah, that's amazing, actually, in many ways, and great news for some people, you know, for working mothers, or, you know, others who may have considered having to drop out of the workforce for, because of just competing demands with work and family responsibilities. It's all really important information. The face of the workplace is changing. And my guest this morning to talk about all of this is Gabriella Pereira of Alcott HR. She's a human resource resources generalist. And Gabby, where can people go if they want to get their hands on all of the free resources that are available on your website and otherwise?
Awesome. So if you want to go to our social media, so on our LinkedIn and our Facebook page, we're Alcott, which is A-L-C-O-T-T-H-R. We have available in there, actually just posted maybe yesterday, a free reopening guide, where it's a whole guide of information about reopening with this COVID pandemic and what that looks like for employers. You can also go to our website, which is www.alcotthr.com. And in there, you also have links to a ton of different free resources. If you want to, if you like hearing about all this information I'm giving to you,
or if you
all
just want to spend less time on social media, Gabby, let's be honest, people are going down that rabbit hole of Facebook and LinkedIn and whatnot, and spending too much time on social media. So in a less sort of social media way of getting in touch with you, where can people reach you?
You can give us a call at Alcott. You can call 631-420-0100, and you can ask for a business consultant, and there you can just tap into a free HR assessment, and where we'll essentially look at your business and understand if there's any risks there, and if partnering with Alcott would be a benefit to you.
And you're giving a lot. Before the show, when we were researching this episode and talking about it, we also talked about sort of new rules that are benefiting nonprofits with regard to PPP loans.
Right.
So the Federal Reserve Board, I think it was just yesterday, announced changes that will make it a little bit easier for nonprofits to apply for these loans. What kind of questions are you getting about that?
Those PPP loans, they were questions for months that we had back when they first rolled out the PPP loan. I want to say that was back in April.
Yeah.
Just because at first the regulations were just about payroll and just paying just for the paycheck protection. But now they're talking about any money you spent towards a PPE can now be used with that money from those the loan. And I think that that is going to help a lot of businesses.
Right. Because like we were saying, you know, nonprofits don't really have the luxury of being able to work remotely. And right. So they have to make changes to their workplace. And now those that money spent on partitions or reconfiguring the bathrooms or whatever the case might right. be, you know, in your office space, those can all potentially be used with loan monies, right?
Right. So that is a huge benefit for small businesses that cannot afford a touchless sink or doors that automatically open. That is thousands of dollars that small businesses 9 times out of 10 aren't going to have that money. So being able to tap into those resources, being able just to buy a whole bunch of hand sanitizer is going to be a huge benefit because large nonprofits go through that like it's water at their businesses just because they're always with a client, they leave, they wash their hands, they go into another client, they have to wash their hands again, put some more hand sanitizer on. I never realized how much hand sanitizer I could use in a day. And I'm not even in a nonprofit. So working with clients and being in the public a lot, that has been a huge expense for businesses that they never really predicted that they would need to pay for.
So right. I think these organizations are already stretched thin, even exactly. under normal circumstances.
Exactly.
Right? Okay. So let's shift gears a little bit and just talk to what I think we're really talking about here in the big picture are sort of the changing landscapes in workplace and work cultural trends. So, you know, not too long ago, you know, before this pandemic started, I don't know about you, Gabby, but I feel like people would go to work. I ride the Long Island Railroad and people would go into work hacking up a lung, right?
Oh,
just
yes.
because it was sort of the expectation of the business that you did right. whatever was necessary to have your FaceTime and that sort of thing.
Right.
And now I'm hopeful that we're seeing some changes with that. What are you seeing?
So I see a lot of trends in, like you mentioned, that staying home when you're sick. You know,
right. not just with COVID, but with
right,
anything.
With anything. I remember this past flu season, you know, people are coming in with the sniffles. People came in if they didn't feel too well. And I think it's almost like it was a shell shock for everyone that, you know, really you should use your time. And employees forget about the sick time that they have available to them, even the vacation time.
Well, or even if they don't forget, I think they're scared. You know, they're
right.
scared that if I acknowledge that I'm sick, I'm not going to get the best assignment, or I might lose my job or whatever, you know, I might get the worst shift of the day, you know, right. whatever the case might be, right?
And I think that was a huge stigma, and it was a huge stigma for a lot of people, especially if it was even just a mental health day, you know, that you actually had to have a cough or not feel well to be sick. But, you know, if it's just a day where you just need to take a mental health day and you use a sick day, that's something that really employers are very, very amenable now to going forward, whether it's, you know, you don't feel well with your, you know, you have a cough or, you know, I just need to take the day off and use a mental health day. Because this pandemic really is been a tough toll on a lot of businesses and especially non-for-profits. A lot of my nonprofit clients were reaching out saying, we need to tap into your EAP services because our employees are getting drained. They need the time. They need to think. They need to breathe. And they feel like they're always be on those front lines. And EAP services have never been more important, I don't think, now.
Right. So for those of you not familiar, EAP are employee assistance programs.
Right.
And let's talk about that. I'm glad you raised it because I know that your company offers a whole slew of different
yes.
EAP resources.
Yes.
Some, many of which are free of charge.
Right.
Right. So these are great things that businesses and nonprofits can take advantage of now. And to show that they're, to show their employees, I think it sends a message that, you know, they care.
Right.
So what kind of resources do you offer?
So we have a free EAP that our clients are available to use. It comes a part of our services as an being an LCOP client. And what happens is that you get 3 free calls for every life event you have. People like to say bump in the road, but you can call for anything. You can call whether it's you move to a new town and you need to find a new daycare for your child, or you just had a loss and you really just need to grieve and you want to talk to a grief counselor. So this now with the COVID pandemic, this has been super important for employers to really hone in on those resources that they have available to their staff.
Yeah. And it's so important, you know, to take care of your employees, but to also realize, you know, you're also taking care of the bottom line, because when you lose employees, whether you are a nonprofit or not, that is an expense, you know,
right,
to find the new person, replace them, whatnot. So if you keep the talent that you have, that is a much more efficient way to, you know, run your business. So these are all free, no additional charge, you know, type of services.
Exactly.
Right. Yep. What about looking at employee policies? So I'm sure if you were to ask anybody outside on the street, they would tell you that they, despite the fact that I write many of these things as a lawyer, I'm sure that nobody reads them, right?
Nope.
Or people just forget that they're even there. So what kind of, you know, trend do you anticipate when people do start going back to work? Do you think there's going to be a little bit more heightened awareness around these kind of policies? And if so, how can an employer, again, a nonprofit or not, how can they get ready for that?
I think employees are going to be really trying to understand their safety policies or looking into their time off policies, which that's what they usually looked at anyway when they first look at their handbook. Employees are also going to be looking at any type of hours and time off and scheduling, because that's really what's going to be important to them. Using time off, having that flexibility, being able to work from home if they need to, or being able to flex their schedule week by week, depending on childcare, whatever it may be. So I think employers need to be ready to be a little bit more flexible than they used to be, just because employers, you know, this work from home, telecommuting, flexible schedule, like I mentioned before, this is a new normal that a lot of employers are going to need to get their hands on, and really understanding the compliance that's also behind all of this. So LCOT does assist with all compliance, no matter what state they operate in. And it's important to know that New York State and Ohio have very different policies. And what is New York State and what is Ohio requiring of employers to do with this COVID pandemic?
Right. And then more to the point, how do you get the word out to your employees when you're all dispersed? You
right.
are not, by definition, in some central, you know, conference room
right.
where you can get the whole group together. So as people start to get out of their athleisure wear or whatever it is that they're wearing for the last, you know, 5 months at home, what can they expect when they go back to work? You know, it's a little bit jarring for a lot of people.
And I think it's going to be a huge change because people got very used to the athletic leisure and the work from home.
That's if they got dressed to begin with, right?
Literally.
You know that people were turning off their camera on Zoom.
Exactly. They didn't right? want anyone to know.
Right. But as people start to roll out of bed at a normal time and whatnot, you know, what can they, what should they ask their employers for?
They should ask what their safety policy is. What have they rolled out for COVID to make sure at all times that they'll be socially distant from their other coworkers? Are the cubicles, you know, 6 feet apart from each other? What resources do they have for PPE? Are they offering and providing masks on site, or do I have to bring my own masks?
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also like a lot of, you know, little things that maybe people don't think about, like the shared printers, right?
Right.
Who's in charge of kind of cleaning that off? Who knows where that's been, right?
Right.
So, right. So, all of the, you know, the scanners and phones
right.
and whatnot, right? If you're in that kind of an office space.
And I think a lot of employers are really tapping into their cleaning services. And now they're using those cleaning services where it used to be maybe they'd come in every 2 days. Now they're coming in every day. They're doing daily cleanings. They're making sure that there's wipes available or hand sanitizer available near the stations where there's high touch. We actually use little stylus pens when we use our scanners now so that everyone has their own stylus and they use their stylus to print whenever they need to print.
Again, little things. Well, there's a lot of changes. And as companies start to open up here in Long Island and around the country, I think it's just a matter of time before we see more of those changes.
I agree.
So this show has been full of information. I can't believe we're at the end, but people will, I hope our listeners get a lot of practical tips and take action, right? To protect your employees and for employees to protect themselves. So as we wrap this up, Gabby, where can people go for more information?
So you can follow us on social media, Alcott HR. So it's ALCOTTHR. We have a LinkedIn and a Facebook. There you can follow us and get access to those free assessments. Or you can give us a call at 631-420-0100, or even at our website, which is www.alcotthr.com, and reach out to us and ask for a free risk assessment from one of our business consultants.
Excellent. Well, thank you for being here this morning, Gabby. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next Saturday with another episode of The Nonprofit Voice.
Thanks so much. It has been a pleasure.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.